You're listening to the Screening in Kingston podcast. For more on Screening in Kingston, more episodes, info about our movie clubs, and a lot more fun movie content, visit screeninginkingston.com. Alright, we're going to kick off this week's episode with a funny story. Taylor, take it away.
It might be the case of the parent thinking it's funny and no one else thinks it's funny.
It's possible.
The way parents think their kids are geniuses. So, yeah. It was Friday. We were on our TV, like, already this story has derailed because I can't think of proper words to describe things. So we have a smart TV, Mike, where you can have different apps. I'm sure everyone's TV is a smart TV now.
Right.
But every once in a while in a blue moon, we might go to the radio app where you can just listen to the radio. And this app also has the opportunity to listen to podcasts. And so out of curiosity, I said, Dan, let's see if my podcast is on this app. It was. And so I said, let's just listen to a little bit of the newest episode, whatever. So I think it was the Bombshell episode.
Of course, yes. Anyway, our famous Bombshell episode. Yeah.
So, you know, you normally start the show and then I normally chime in. So you did your little spiel, whatever, and then I started talking and immediately George grabbed the converter and shut it off.
You're kidding.
No, and we thought it was so funny. He said, oh, mama's talking. No, thank you. I get that on a daily basis. Boop, off. And so Dan and I had a really good laugh about that. And then I realized, Mike, how horrible my audio sounds. And so it was the impetus for me to break out the old microphone, and I got a stand because our old microphones were on a swivel. And so hopefully this going forward, my audio will be much better. Because for people who aren't aware, I was very sick for a long time. And then the easiest way for me to record was just with my earbuds and not really be tethered to a desk or anything because of the baby. Well, I didn't realize how horrible the earbuds sound, Mike. Why did you not tell me?
Well, I think you might be your own worst critic. Like, I don't think it was that bad. Now, people listening today, yes, the sound is going to be much different.
Hopefully but that's better.
I would just describe it as different. I mean, the big thing for me with sound has always been, can I hear you and understand you? And if the answers are yes, then that's the point. Like, that's enough. That's the idea of it. So
everyone, let your friends know Taylor's back on a real microphone and not her earbuds. So if we lost people over the last year of me using my earbuds, tell them to come back. I'm back on the microphone. Not that we had amazing microphones to begin with, but it is a difference, I think.
Yeah. The microphone I'm using, the one that I've always used since basically we got them when the pandemic started.
Yeah.
We had to find a solution because we wanted to keep the show going. And the solution was getting these microphones, and they were just the most sort of affordable, maybe up one or two levels from that we could find on Amazon. Like, I remember we just bought them off Amazon.
Yep. And they came, you know, within the 3 days, and we were good to go. So
Amazon Prime members. Yeah, we got them within 3 days. Yeah, yeah.
So I am using that mic, but I didn't like the swivel type. So I wanted a mic stand that can just stay stationary on my desk. So we'll see how this goes. I don't know. It came with a new pop screen. And then I know the only reason why I'm talking about this is because I know our listeners like the behind the scenes sometimes of the making of. And so I thought maybe they would find this audio stuff interesting. But I also text Mike in a panic over the weekend saying, do I need a pop shield or a windshield? A pop screen or a windshield? But it's the pop screens. I did my own research, Mike. We don't need because we're inside. We only need the pop screen.
Yeah, I my sort of most recent issue is there's always something. I received your text message 2 days later because my phone for the longest time.
No, you didn't. No, Mike, you replied to me the day of.
Oh, maybe. Okay, maybe I fixed it by the time you texted me. Because my phone for about 3 days was sort of sending and receiving text messages several hours later than they were sent. But then I figured out what the issue was and fixed
it. Okay, well, replied to me.
Okay, good. I was worried that I didn't. So I must have fixed it then by the time you texted. Okay, that makes sense. All days have no meaning to me. Everything's one day.
Especially when there's a long weekend.
Yeah, that I'm not really a fan anymore. I used to love long weekends, and now I honestly would rather forego long weekends and just finish working like an hour earlier or 2 hours earlier. Like if we could work
a 4 day week.
Yeah, like a 4 day week, 8 to 4, Monday to Thursday, and just always have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like if that could just be life, that would be better. Because the thing that I always hate about long weekends is I just have to work double, like extra hard anyway. Like I have to work up. Almost double. Yeah, to catch up or to prepare for being off. And then my body thinks I'm resting. So it's like, oh, we can be sick and just lazy. And it's like, no, like we only have 2 days. So I just think for everyone, it would be a lot better if we could do like a Monday to Thursday normal kind of work week. And that would be it. That would be my suggestion. To we'll whoever makes those decisions. Yeah,
we'll send it up the pipe there, Mike, and yeah. Let them know. I think a 4 day.
Whoever's in charge.
In the summertime, my office does half days on Fridays, and then we're allowed to leave 3:30 during the week, which is pretty nice. So we get that July and August.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's nice. Like, it's nice to kind of, it's also nice to change things up, I guess.
You know that that's the schedule, so you just get your work done.
Yeah,
within the time frame, you know what I mean. But yeah, we slow down in the summertime, so my boss is like, just go home. So why not? I'll take it.
Yeah. And one of the most interesting things about this kind of weekend is I never, like a lot of people, most people have the Friday off, and then some have Monday as well. And school have always had the both 4 day weekend. I know government jobs have like 4 day weekends, but a lot of people are still working on the Monday. But you never know. Like some things are open, some things are closed. You never really know. And I went to see, like I saw the movie, I saw Immaculate that I'm reviewing today, this weekend. And it was I went to see it in like an afternoon, and it was pretty much empty. The only other on the, no, I went on, what day was, did I go? I can't remember if it was Sunday or Saturday that I went. To an
if you went on Sunday, the day of our Lord's resurrection, and you saw Immaculate.
Did I? I don't remember if it was
that Saturday might explain why you was dead.
I honestly don't remember. But only one other person, or maybe there was two of them, and they sat literally behind me.
Oh.
The entire theater.
Also, okay, at that point, say you pre-bought your tickets, whatever, they didn't know that they were sitting behind you. But once it's like 5 minutes to the start of the show and you see that no one else is in the theater, move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would do. I guess so. I was in the perfect spot though.
I know. It's on them. I think it's on them.
Center. And I was there first for a long time.
When you buy the tickets, they must have bought their tickets first, because when you buy your tickets now.
No. I did. When I bought the tickets, the theater was empty.
Okay, so yeah, they're the psychos that decided to sit behind you.
They are. Yeah. And I was there really early. I like to go to movies.
So they
really
should have moved. Yeah. They should have moved. It's on them. They're in the wrong.
It's like, that was it. There was no one else in the theater. And for a minute there, I'm like, okay, there's nothing better in my mind than watching like a horror movie in an absolute empty theater by yourself. It's like having your own personal just auditorium. Would have been fantastic. But they ruined it by sitting directly behind me. Not only being there, but also sitting directly behind, which sucked.
Well, I hope the movie was worth it, but I guess we'll get into it.
We will, but I think we're also burying the lead here. because you told a funny story that obviously I think it is funny. I think anyone will find that funny. but I think the most shocking thing of that is that you finally listened to an episode of Screaming.
Well, to be fair, we only listened to the first like 3 minutes of it.
Right. And then George decided that he was
done. And then George said, nope, I'm turning this off. If I want to listen to my mom, I can just listen to her talk. I don't need to listen to the show.
I don't. Yeah, that's really funny. Because sometimes celebrities will tell stories of their kids won't watch movies they're in. Like they refuse, even if it's like a cartoon.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. There's a funny story. There's a funny story Bill Hader told on like a talk show where his kids like would like grill him before going to see a movie to make sure he wasn't in it. And then one time, I guess he forgot or I don't remember if it was a preview, but his kids got mad at him. They're like, you promised you weren't in this.
He was like, well, I guess you're with your parents so much. You don't want to see them on the TV too.
It's probably embarrassing too. Like your parents are usually a source of great embarrassment.
Yeah, normally. So, I'd like to think that George is young enough that I'm not embarrassing him yet, but clearly I am.
Clearly that was disproved. So I think, yeah, he's already he's moved past wanting to hear you all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which that's pretty funny. And I just, so the fact that this is the whole conclusion, like you finally listen to the episode and you change your entire audio setup because of it. I mean, if you listen to a full episode of Screening Kingston, what other changes will happen?
Yeah, it's probably good that I don't listen to it regularly because I'll be making slashes and burns to the show being like, nope, horrible, sounds bad, edit that out. So it's probably for the best that the one time in 6 years I tuned in and I decided to upgrade my sound, but and that was it.
Yeah, and hey, that's I think that's still good. You know, the sound's sounding good. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess we won't know for certain until you go to edit it.
Yeah, and honestly, to defend myself a little bit, what did you expect me to say in the middle of you having a baby and being really ill? Being like, you know, Taylor, your vocal quality is just not up to par. Like, was that the expectation?
I think you were just happy to have me back, eh? You're like, I'll take you, bad audio and all.
we were trying for like for weeks. We were just spitballing ideas of shows. There was a time there where you were kind of coming back every couple of weeks or so that we were filling space with people, just trying to come up with anything. Like I would be talking, okay, it's your turn to come on the show. What do you want to talk about? It's like, what are we doing? What are we like, how are we going to make this work? So yeah, I mean, I just said, yeah, you're back, whatever. The audio is the audio. Sounded okay to me. What do
all
I know?
Well, what do we know? But you know what? It's all good. We're back at it. And it's just a joy to be here. And I'm happy. I don't know why I said that. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you're going with this. But.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I'm dying or something. I'm just so glad to be back on the podcast with my good microphone.
And anyways, it's so... Mike. It's so... Sorry, yeah, I mean, it took long enough. But I mean, it's April. We're into a new month here. We're changing things up. This week we've got, so as I mentioned, I'm reviewing Immaculate and you're reviewing the Roadhouse remake.
Yeah. The movie no one asked for.
Yeah. And I honestly, when I saw the preview, which might have been a week ago, like not too long ago, a week or 2 weeks ago, I didn't know it was coming until like, I didn't hear anything about this movie until I saw the thing on Prime, like, oh, they're redoing this movie. I didn't know the first one even had a following.
Oh, it's considered a cult classic. I watched it probably in high school or first year of university. I don't remember it well. Of course, it's a Patrick Swayze vehicle and everyone loved him in the 80s. I think it's one of those like fun action movies from the 80s. Doesn't take itself too seriously. But I would say yes, has a huge cult following.
Yeah.
Referenced in pop culture a lot, like Roadhouse. This movie, the remake, has been on my radar off and on for a little bit, for a little while. I'm a Jake Gyllenhaal fan. I like him a lot.
And it's because of him then. So like he's the one that's kept it on the radar.
Yeah. I thought Roadhouse, interesting IP. Okay. Know enough about it to be a little titillated. But then when Jake Gyllenhaal was cast as the lead, I said, okay, I'll check it out. And Mike, prior to us starting the recording, you didn't know that there's controversy around this remake.
No, I had no idea. You informed me of that, and I had no clue that there was anything.
So I'll get into that during my review. To be fair, I literally Googled it 1 minute before signing on to record, so I will be giving people a very, very basic summary of the controversy. I'm sure some of our listeners probably know more than I do, but I think it's always interesting when there's going to be controversy often with remakes, but this is some interesting controversy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to me, criticisms of a film because you're comparing it to a remake is really fair. Like, I've always been a fan of, like, if you're going to call your film Roadhouse or, like, we did recently, Ghostbusters, then you're opening yourself up to that criticism. And to me, I wouldn't qualify that as controversy. But I can understand that it does put the film and the people working on it at a bit of a disadvantage. But you're doing it to yourself, as far as I'm concerned. Because you could make an original movie, or you could do a Roadhouse-style film that's a little bit different. Like, you could pull a Joker where the filmmaker obviously just wanted to make Taxi Driver. So you could do things like that, and then you open yourself up to, like, regular kind of criticism, for want of a better term. But, yeah, I think it's fair. If you're going to call your thing the same title as the thing we all know and love, then you're opening yourself up to comparisons.
So should I go into, first of all, do we have any fan questions?
We have a fan question or two.
Okay, well, why don't we do the fan questions and then I can dive into the controversy. Because interesting, Mike, some of the controversy, I guess, is connected to the fact that it's a remake, but it's not even so much criticism of it being a remake. It's an interesting headline. So let's go to the fan questions and then we can talk the Roadhouse controversy.
I haven't decided, to be honest with you, and we can have this conversation online, because I'm not going to edit this out, if we should read these fan questions or not.
Uh-oh.
Like, normally I'm really gung-ho to read any sort of fan question, and I'm not someone who shies away from any topic whatsoever. Like, it wouldn't affect me at all if every person listening cursed my name after listening to a podcast. Like, it really just wouldn't. Like, I would continue to live my life.
It would fuel you.
Yeah, maybe. If that. I feel like it's more, I'm becoming more and more disconnected, where I'm just sort of like, whatever. Like, I don't know you, so it doesn't really matter what you think. Part of the issue is some of the questions, comments, or thoughts here, I'm having a hard time figuring out how we would even discuss it, because I'm still uncertain over the topic, because really this, to kind of go into it, Taylor, maybe we can just continue this discussion. It really has to do with our Bombshell episode. As I said, now famous, pretty much our most famous episode of Screening in Kingston.
Truly? Like, in terms of downloads, or are you just saying?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm just going off of the reception. I'm going off of this. And by the time we're recording this, you know, that's already an episode old.
Right.
But again, you know, everything's that episode by the time we're recording this has been released like a day ago. So there's sort of, there's a little bit of a delay there. So all the fan questions are kind of rooted around that. And the discussion around this Bombshell idea is really interesting, because people have really, like, some people really thought our conversation was really funny, and other people thought it was not funny.
Offensive?
Yeah. Offensive is being tossed out there. But I want to read you something, Taylor, and I want you to tell me what you think of this. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of, like looking up the meanings of words. Yeah. So can I just read you this dictionary definition of bombshell? Can I just read this to you?
Yeah.
Bombshell. So obviously there's, you know how there's always one, two, three. So the first definition, there's multiple. Right. The first definition is something that is very surprising or shocking.
Yep, like a bombshell story. Yep.
Right. So one of the fan questions here, and I'm going to read this one because this one I can get fiery about. This one comes from Justine. And Justine says, I'm absolutely shocked, Mike, that you've never heard the term bombshell before. This is something that definitely has been a big part of Hollywood for a long time. I think Taylor's example was actually quite fitting. I'm assuming there's been several over the course of time, but I think we obviously know who the most famous bombshell was. But this is definitely a term that gets used all the time. Okay, so that's the comment. That's the fan question comment. Number one. Something that is very shocking or surprising. Where is there a mention of a woman's physical appearance in that sentence, Taylor?
Mike, come on. You're being goofy.
Bombshell. Bombshell. It's like something that is very surprising. Slang.
Slang is never the first definition.
Precisely. Precisely. And slang is something that's not known by every single person. So the idea and the problem I always have is when people say like, oh, it's common knowledge. No. Breathing in oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide, that's common knowledge. Other than that, everything else you have to learn, be a part of, be immersed in, etc. Language especially is very all over the place. And I think part of the reason why I get fiery about it, Taylor, is just because this to me is one of many examples of everyone takes language so seriously, yet no one does any work to educate anyone on language. We just judge people when you don't understand or know
something.
I think
something. I did a great job of educating you on bombshell.
You did a fantastic job. You gave a description. It caused the whole thing. My entire life was shaken and changed. Yes, you did a great job. But I'm just responding to this fan comment to Justine saying, well, if you look up the definition, technically, a bombshell is something that is very shocking or surprising.
In a sense, it's like we did two bombshells, the bombshell of Sydney Sweeney and then the bombshell news of you learning what a bombshell is. You learning what a bombshell was bombshell news to you.
That's true. That is very true. It's just, I think what happened in terms of that episode and some of those fan questions and some of the themes around the fan questions is, I think people are commenting on my hesitation to go into the conversation.
People thought you weren't weighing in to the full extent that you could have weighed in.
That's right. That is essentially what I'm seeing here. And part of the, like normally over any other topic, I would immediately answer those questions. But I feel like, with this one, it's harder for me to know where to go with it because I think my answer is, yeah, that's exactly what I did. Because I felt that for the most part, these are conversations you're not generally having anymore. That's also, just my
like, I think
thought of it.
Yeah. I understand your hesitancy because if you were to go full on one way or the other, you were going to get dragged. People were going to be like, oh, Mike commenting on Sydney Sweeney's looks, or you know what I mean? Like, I think you could have got dragged one way or the other. And I think it's just classic public. The fact that you didn't weigh in, people are now.
It's almost worse.
Yeah. It's like the time, I forget what comment I made, but we had one person write in saying, Taylor, you're being way too conservative. And then literally, same episode, same comment they were commenting on. Taylor, you're being way too liberal.
So, oh, like, yeah, you are both in all in one. Yeah.
So, like, this to me is probably the same instance of you're damned if you do, damned if you don't in terms of
because,
the bombshell.
Yeah, because basically what you learn, and again, people don't like hearing this, but regardless of what side you're on whatever particular argument, like even if we want to take like more conservative or liberal thinking as an example, if you're super conservative or if you're super liberal, you're way more alike than you would want to admit because you take things so to the extreme that you have to be, you know, one way or the other. Whereas people who are closer to kind of the middle are less to sort of comment negatively. So I think in this particular case, yeah, you're either going to think I'm sexist for commenting or afraid to get canceled for not commenting. And I think the reality is I just felt, one, I wasn't comfortable commenting. And two, I didn't really think it had anything to do with my interests in the films. So I learned what a bombshell was. We talked about it a little bit, talked about like public perception stuff, but my interest in films is really connected to storytelling and character development and all these things. So I felt like I didn't need to comment.
Body.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't need to comment, but I so guess
read
I
me,
should've.
Read me a couple of the, you don't have to engage with the haters, Mike, but I'm interested to hear some of these comments. Can you share some of the comments?
Maybe I'll keep their names out of it and I'll just read the comments. Okay, so this one was, I was really surprised by your conversation recently about Sydney Sweeney. It seems to me really interesting that you would be talking about movies on your show generally, and then suddenly you come to a topic that's more about physical appearance, and it seemed like the actual art behind the films completely disappeared. I was also most shocked that Mike never even chimed into the conversation, making me think he was afraid to actually say something.
Okay.
That's comment number one. Which, I don't think we did that. Like, I don't think we had a conversation just about someone's physical appearance. I think we were just talking about publicity, public relations, the way people present themselves.
And persona.
Persona. That's a good term. Like, that's what I think.
Valid. 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 Valid critique.
Maybe. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't even know if it's a valid critique. Because we're not saying she's only in movies because of the way she looks. But also, I don't know if you've ever seen this person. I don't know if you've ever seen like a movie or any sort of media, but like that's kind of one element that elevates a star to a certain level.
That's what I was trying to get at, in the sense that like you can't get around the fact that Hollywood uses quote unquote beautiful people to sell tickets. And like whether that's right or wrong, like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So I guess what I was trying to get at was that Sydney Sweeney seems to me, again, this is just what I've seen on social media and in magazines and stuff, it seems to me she's cultivating a persona that is similar to what we've seen in the past. And she's kind of becoming an it girl. And I don't know, like, I guess, like, I just find it kind of what we were trying to get to. The crux of the conversation is that I think we don't really have that quote unquote persona or like star power that we once did. And I feel like Sydney Sweeney is kind of a throwback to an older style of film marketing. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base.
No,
maybe I'm completely off base.
I actually don't think you're wrong about that. I think the comment I gave to you offline, Taylor, because we talked about this, I remember, offline. And I'll just say it on air, like, whatever. The comment I gave was, I don't think it's as cultivated as the way you're sort of talking, that it's like, it's intentional.
And this
new crowd. To me, it's ad hoc and it's just who she is. But with that being said, another example to get things away from physical appearance, another example of what you're talking about is like the action star, which I would say Tom Cruise is the example of today. That's a throwback to the 80s action star, where there are people who go to see movies because Tom Cruise is in it running around being action stuff.
Yeah.
So, and there would have been people who would have gone to see movies that, what's her face? What's
said Marilyn Monroe, like Marilyn Monroe. We used the example like you went to the movie because Marilyn Monroe, or like a more current example, Brad Pitt. It didn't really matter what the movie was, but Brad Pitt's the lead, so a certain segment of the population is going to go see that movie. I think so part of that conversation does include looks, because that's how Hollywood markets, you know, they cultivate certain stars. But I think it's more than physical appearance. It's this,
for sure,
star power, it girl, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? And I'm interested to see if Sydney Sweeney is going to blossom. Like, is this going to be like, is there longevity? And So that's, we talked a little bit about how she started kind of in more teen stuff, and now she's branding out. And now we're going to see, okay, is this, you know, does she have the chops, so to speak, to diversify her career? I don't think that's an outrageous conversation.
No, I don't think so at all. And I actually think you bring up a really good point of something that does actually happen all the time that makes this Sydney Sweeney situation like not unique, because that happens to a lot of stars who go through this, like they go from the teen sort of age and then transforming into kind of adult movie making. And you see that, and sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not, right? But you see it happen with Robert Pattinson, Zac Efron, Kristen Stewart, Zendaya, right? Like, I think you're seeing this happen every couple of years where someone does that transition from teen stardom to, okay, now they're making adult movies.
I see, like, and it might just be the algorithm, right? Because at the end of the day, we can't really control what we're seeing on social media. But I am seeing Sydney Sweeney way more than I see Zendaya on social media. Like, they're cultivating different personas. So, and maybe people would argue, that Zendaya is an it girl. But I see her more as like an actor's actress based on the kind of the stuff I'm seeing put out.
I think people might see Zendaya as an it girl, though. I think that would be an interesting conversation. Fans who aren't crazy, write in.
Who's
Zendaya or Sydney Sweeney? Who's more of an it girl? Because I think I would argue that Zendaya is right there. And certainly in terms of the types of films, I would put Zendaya on more of a public track with like Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. You don't need to be an Oscar winner to be an it girl.
I do think you have to be in big movies, though.
Yeah,
I do think you have to be in big movies.
So I think I'm not really following the careers of these women very closely.
It sounds like you are, though.
I should say from afar. Like, I'm not watching. Okay. I'm not watching the content they're in.
You're passively engaged.
Yeah, you know, in the terms of like, I see them on the red carpets. I see them in magazine spreads. Like, I'm seeing magazine spreads of Sydney Sweeney way more than Zendaya. I see Zendaya on the red carpet, and people talk about her fashion choices on the red carpet. But yeah, I guess I just get a different. Again, it's to me it's a fascinating conversation about stardom and about persona and about star power, and I think increase it. And we've had this conversation before, Mike, about. Is the Hollywood star, quote unquote, dead? And you would say no. I would say that it's dying. But then you have people like Sydney Sweeney where you're like, oh, this to me is a throwback to like the 2000s version of stardom. And it feels different than what Zendaya is doing. It feels different than what Timothée Chalamet's doing. Although I would say Timothée Chalamet is a bit of an it boy. Because like... again, from like magazine spreads and stuff. I don't know. It's just so fascinating to me. And like, I would argue that physical appearance is part of it because of the way Hollywood works, but it's so much more than that.
Yes.
As well.
It's an element of it.
I was going to say any other crazy comments, but go ahead.
Well, there are, but we're going to keep, we should move on from this topic, but yeah, there are, but I think, because I have two thoughts on this, because I think this is an interesting conversation, especially about the whole Hollywood star. The one thing I would say is, when it comes to the people you just named, where would you then put Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling?
They, to me, are, because they're a little bit older than this crew, to me, they're the stars of an earlier Hollywood, like... they're not young Hollywood anymore. It's Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, this Sydney Sweeney. But they are stars. I think Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are stars. But are they stars in the way that like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are? I don't know. Fascinating for me to think about. Like, do they... I think also because social media, stars have social media now, so it is almost like stars don't feel as special as they used to, because if you wanted to know about Brad Pitt, you either had to read a tabloid or like listen to an interview. And now I don't think this probably isn't a great example because I don't know if Brad Pitt's on social media, but like take a young the Captain Marvel girl that's very
Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson's social media presence, right? She uses social media like any other early 30-year-old or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
There's no mystery around Brie Larson anymore. Would we consider Brie Larson an A-list star? I don't know. I don't think she's in the same.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's to me, it's just so fascinating to think about. Like if you were to think of who is the it girl. And you know what? Maybe it's because we're old now, Mike, and we don't know who the it girl is because we're out of touch. I don't know.
That could be true. And I think in terms of, because I don't know if the it girl or the it boy and a Hollywood star are like they the same thing.
True.
Is it like an age thing where it's like there's like the it girl and it boy, and then you evolve into the Hollywood star? Because yeah, like I would argue, yes, they're a little bit older than the people we're talking about, but I would argue that Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are stars, and their names can draw you in.
They're definitely A-list.
Yeah, certainly A-list, but like A-list in a different way than like Emily Blunt or Cillian Murphy or Robert Downey Jr., who like right now are like, oh, they're in actor-y movies,
right?
And they're really good, but like you might go see the movie that they're in, but that's because of what the movie is. Whereas you might go see something that Ryan Gosling's in just because it's him. Like you might. And I think Timothy Chalamet is there, and I think Sydney Sweeney is there, and I think Zendaya is there too. Where I think they've got fans within whatever that group is. I don't know. And we probably are just too old to know for sure. We'd have to get into a high school or a university and just kind of see who people are talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess get TikTok and see.
I can't do TikTok either.
No. We're old now, Mike. We're old.
I'm okay with reels on YouTube, and that's about as far as I'll go. We do have two movies that we've got to review here. So we've got to get to those. Review starts at 37 minutes.
For those interested.
But I mean, again, this is a good topical discussion because Sydney Sweeney is in the movie that I'm reviewing. Where's Jake Gyllenhaal in all this?
That's a great question. Just as you were talking, Mike, I was wondering, I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal is, like, he's an A-lister, but he's chosen such interesting roles. I don't know where you would lump him in.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do.
Is he kind of like Keanu Reeves?
No.
Or not as good?
No. No. Keanu Reeves is in the weird spectrum of is he good, is he bad? We don't know, but we're going to go watch him. Yeah, that's like a Nick Cage thing. No. Jake Gyllenhaal is too good of an actor to be in that.
To me, he's almost like a character actor. But he's so handsome, he can't quite break into, like, if he looked a little bit different, I think he would be the same type of actor as, what's his name? He was in The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson. And
Willem Dafoe?
Yeah. Or am I crazy again?
I think you might be a little crazy there. I don't know where you're going with that.
Because Jake Gyllenhaal, like, think of him in Nightcrawler. So, great movie, very character driven. And then he played like a crazy mad scientist in that movie I watched. And I think it's called Okja, which came out several years ago. Again, completely different. I don't know. Like, he looks like he could be an action star, but then chooses really interesting film projects. So he's an enigma.
Enigma.
Brokeback Mountain with Heath Ledger. Just, I don't know.
Weird spider movie we had to watch.
Right? So again, people write in. Jake Gyllenhaal. It boy? A-list so star? I don't know.
This is what we're going to do. And I've made this decision. This is what we're doing. So next week, yes, then this will be for next week because you and I need time on this. Next week, you and I are going to come ready with two top five lists. Okay? We're going to put together our top five list of it people, so male, female, doesn't matter, it people and Hollywood stars. Top five list. Of
like all level. Time or current?
Current, right now. Right
acting
now.
Right so, now.
And right now they are performing. They have multiple movies or multiple shows. They are stars in record. So Hollywood star, let's clarify that right now. To be a Hollywood star, you've got to be someone that you will go out to see.
Bankable.
You will go out to see a movie just because they're in it, no matter what the movie's called. But the it girl boy other, anyone, the it person can be someone who's like, well, they're talked about all the time. They're right. All over social media. They're on spreads. We're obsessed with them, that type of thing. So that can be a mixed gender. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the person is. It person and we'll go Hollywood star. So you will have your two lists, Taylor. I'll have my two lists and fans write in your list and we'll do some comparisons. Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll take all the lists that people write in and I'll do like a percentage. How many had this person on it, whatever. And we'll compare you and me to the popular vote.
And we'll get down. We will get down to brass tacks and we will answer definitively who is the it person and who is the Hollywood
and star. To all you who wrote in, we will not shy away from the conversation and we'll give you our reasons why we think that person should be there. And yeah, let's keep it to person. So it's one list, any gender does not matter. Any person doesn't matter where they're from. It's all about bankability for Hollywood star and basically like talkability for the other one. Can you really just talk about them? Because I think again, that to me, that's the it person. Here's you have to be able to talk about them on a podcast for 41 minutes.
Here's the question though. Mike, can there be overlap between the two lists? Because I think, and we can get into this next week because we're running out of time, but Timothée Chalamet could be on both.
I would say yes, there could be overlap.
But try to avoid.
And try to explain why. Like, if you had to put Timothée Chalamet on one list, which one would you and why?
It boy.
And then there you go. And then like explain yourself.
Yeah. We'll okay. I love this. Right I love this idea.
So that's what we're doing next week. And fans, we're calling on you to write in and be part of this and send in your thoughts. So after Taylor and I present our lists, we'll go to your opinion and do a little comparison. And that's how we'll do this. So there you go. That's what we're going to do next week. We will steer into the conversation and fear none.
Great.
And maybe that'll be the final episode. Of
and we'll finally get canceled.
Someone, probably me, will say
right after I set up my new microphone.
That's right.
We'll get canceled.
Shall we review some movies?
Please. So actually the 42-minute mark.
At the 42-minute mark. Doesn't matter to me who wants to go first. Doesn't really matter.
I can go first.
All right,
Jake Gyllenhaal, it boy, or it boy,
or Hollywood star,
or Hollywood star. We'll talk next week. Yeah. So this movie, as people may or may not know, has been a little bit controversial. It is, as we mentioned, a remake of the 1980s action movie Roadhouse. The premise of this movie is that Jake Gyllenhaal, and I don't even know if he's playing Patrick Swayze's character. I think from what I've read of reviews, and I cannot remember really the full premise of the original movie, from what I've read of reviews is that this movie is a remake in name alone and a little bit of concept. I don't think he's a direct translation of Patrick Swayze's character. Does that make sense, Mike? Like, he's playing the Patrick Swayze role, but it isn't. Like, I think it's a different name. Does that make sense?
Is this then more of a, like, because they call that like a spiritual remake?
That's
where it's not like
I'm getting.
Yeah,
that's
it's not like a remake. It's not really a continuation. It's just like in the spirit of Roadhouse.
I think so. So essentially, Jake Gyllenhaal plays a washed up UFC fighter, and this woman sees him fight and she says, I have a roadhouse in Florida. There's a very rough clientele that are coming in, and I essentially need you to get them out of the bar. Essentially, he's a glorified bouncer, but he's allowed to use violence to eliminate the threat, which is the premise of the original Roadhouse movie. But I think that's where the similarities end, because UFC didn't exist in the 80s. This movie, so first of all, the controversy is around two things. Number one, the director is boycotting the movie because he was under the impression that this was going to go to theaters. It did not go to theaters. It went direct to streaming. So apparently he's boycotting his own movie, from what I can glean. So that's pretty crazy to begin with. And apparently Amazon and I guess the producers were like, it was never going to go to theaters. We don't know what you're complaining about. And then the second controversy is the original writer of the movie So Roadhouse is now facing a lawsuit from R. Lance Hill, the original screenwriter of the 1989 version. Hill is suing MGM for copyright infringement, claiming that the studio ignored his ability to reclaim the rights to his 1986 screenplay. Hill alleges that he filed a petition, yada, yada, yada. And then weirdly, this is what I think is weird controversy, Mike. In addition to that, Hill alleges that not only did Amazon ignore his claims and move on with the remake of Roadhouse, but that the studio used artificial intelligence to replicate the voices of actors for ADR during the 2023 SAG strike. How would he know that? That's like such
a weird, specific
criticism. So anyways, that's some of the controversy around the movie. So originally at the top of the show, you had talked about how because it's a remake, it's courting controversy to begin with. It's interesting that the controversy has to do with more, I would say, modern problems around streaming, AI, and rights. So all that to be said, this movie was not very good. And some of the reviews I'm seeing, or I should say the comments online, were thank God this was released on streaming, because if it went to theaters, no one would go see it.
No one would go,
It's, for one thing, is UFC still popular? UFC was wildly popular when I was in high school and university, and I thought it was a little bit, like, passé. So, but I could
it's
be
certainly
wrong.
Still going on. Like, it's still, right, I know, it's still happening, but I don't know how popular it is.
Didn't know if it was, like, the huge kind of cultural touchstone it once was. So they really lean into the UFC stuff, and to me, I'm like, Jake Gyllenhaal, you are a better actor than this. What, like, if you wanted to do UFC, you could just do that on the weekends as part of your physical training. Like, I don't, it just seems so, he was so elevated compared to the rest of the cast. You know when there's like a really good actor in a movie and they're taking it seriously, and then everyone else just kind of seems like they're in a different movie?
Yeah, it happens a lot, and it really throws the movie. It's almost like even though you're so good, you're making this movie worse.
Yeah, because it's like a tonal shift. You're like, you're playing this straight, Jake Gyllenhaal, but everyone else is not. So like, it definitely, I didn't know if it was supposed to be a straight up action comedy or not. There was definitely moments where I was like, this just feels too goofy. Like the villains, or I should say the henchmen of the villains, were just so, so goofy, like such caricatures of what you would consider like a small town henchman. So yeah, like it really felt like a B movie to me that happened to star Jake Gyllenhaal. And then there's a famous UFC fighter, Colin something. I think he's Irish. He's in the movie, and he just
McGregor?
Colin McGregor. Is that his?
Yeah. I don't think his first name's Colin.
Oh,
is it?
Sorry. I could be. But I guess I can look this up real. Yeah, Conor McGregor. He plays, he's not a UFC fighter, but he plays sort of one of the antagonists, and he just is at 150 the whole time. And at first you're like, this is a lot of fun. Like, this is a weird, you know, like this is a kind of corny, but like fun. But he never, like, he operates at the same level the whole time he's in the movie, and you're like, ooh, like the director should have given him some cues. You know what I mean? Like,
yep, yep.
You know, you don't need to smile like a maniac the whole time you're on the screen.
If you're at like 360 degrees already, like there's nowhere to go.
Yeah,
like you can't do anything. Yeah.
This, I think, is his first movie, but to me, that's the director's fault. Like, you can direct someone to give other stuff in the performance. So all in all, it's a skip it for me. Even Jake Gyllenhaal could not redeem this movie. Interestingly, the original Roadhouse is also on Amazon, so you should probably just go watch the original with Patrick Swayze. Yeah, interesting. It's like I said, I think I said this on air at the beginning of the show. Who asked for this movie? I don't know, but they've given it to us, and they probably shouldn't have. And when the director is boycotting his own movie, that's kind of crazy. So anyways, it's a skip it.
So I saw Immaculate, as I mentioned, and this was a really tough movie to review in terms of giving it our final rating. I know exactly what I liked and didn't like about it, but it's really hard to pin down kind of where this movie lies. So essentially, it's a story about a young nun who goes to Italy to be part of this like really recluse like convent, and she's Sydney Sweeney, and it's like kind of an honor to be here. It's sort of a big deal, but immediately something's up, something's going on, and horror things
ensue.
and that's pretty much it's pretty much it. The thing that really to me didn't work about this movie was I felt the script could have been way stronger. Like, I don't think it was a very well written movie, and there was no mystery at all. You knew exactly what was going on almost the minute she arrived. Like, there was, you as an audience weren't with her discovering what's going on. You knew exactly what was happening. So that took a lot of the tension, I felt, out of the movie.
No mystery.
No mystery whatsoever. And I do blame the writing, and this is why I would blame the writing over the directing. I think the directing had, like, moments that were really well done. Like, this is a movie that had two or three scenes that I'm like, okay, that's really good. The movie needed more of this, where it's more tense, the atmosphere is really good and interesting, the tone's very clear, and I think that the director, I don't have the name right in front of me, and Sydney Sweeney both showed something in this movie. The problem is it wasn't enough to save it. Like, I thought...
I read somewhere that she rewrote the script. Does that sound accurate?
I don't know, but that means she does not have a career as a writer. I'll tell you that much. Because her, and like her,
I read like, that she produced this movie. Like, she has a production.
Yeah, she was a producer. She's a producer on this. Yeah.
She tagged the director, being like, "Please direct me in this movie."
Yeah, and the director's good. I have no problem with the direction of this film. The biggest issue was there was no tension whatsoever. The horror scenes were not particularly scary. There was one or two minutes of, I would say, gore that could be like something that people like, oh,
unsettling.
Unsettling. But I would even say this movie isn't startling, which at bare minimum with jump scares, normally like it's at least like this movie has startling moments. It doesn't. And it just failed to tell an interesting story in this like really interesting, cool setting that could be really scary. You get a bunch of nuns with the overtone of religion in like a convent in the middle of a foreign country, at least to the main character. She doesn't speak the language and doesn't know what's going on. You've got yourself a horror movie. Sure. But I think it was ruined by the fact that we knew exactly what was happening. And there was no discovery. There was no mystery. There was no buildup. Her performance was excellent. Like, I really think she did a great job. There's two scenes in particular where I'm like, okay, you have some acting chops. Like, that was really good. And her and the director can only elevate the movie to a certain point, because I guess if she was writing it, she shouldn't have, because the writing was not good. The dialogue was okay, but just the way the plot was and the way it was set up just never, it just never landed for me.
Also, just don't don't quote me on her doing rewrites, but I think that's what I read in the article, but don't quote me on that. Yeah. So let's not throw her completely under the bus in terms of the writing.
She definitely had a producer credit on it, but it definitely, yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes you take a look around when you're working on a film, unlike when you're working on certain stage productions, which is a good example, because I'm directing one right now. I'm handed the script and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
The script is the script. The writer's not in the room. There's no choice there. You got to work with what you're given. For a film, you can work in theory with the writers. And I just feel like that's also maybe a bit of a knock against her and the director of, like, you got to realize from the beginning that this is not building
or
tension.
Improv.
There's no, like, not that every horror movie has to be a mystery, but there could have been. This movie would have been so much better if you had no idea what was going on, how she got pregnant, why, what's happening, who knows what, who can be trusted. It would have been so much better if we were discovering with her and feeling the same anxiety she was. But that's not what happened. We were ahead of her the entire time.
I thought that was going to be the premise of the movie, where, like, you don't actually know whether or not, like, she says, I don't know how I got pregnant, but there's always that, until the end of the movie, the big reveal, there's always that suspicion that, like, oh, maybe she just got pregnant. Like, maybe she had sex and she's just a nun and telling people that she doesn't know how she got pregnant. So that's not even on the table in this movie.
Yeah, not at all. And this,
well,
that's
a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it does happen relatively early, and you know what's going on. You know who's in on it, and they accept her just saying that she's a virgin too easily.
Right.
Where, like, it's just you just move past it. That was the opportunity, and that would have made, again, an added, now she's here and you don't know whether or not she's telling the truth. You don't know whether or not the people there are involved. You don't know whether or not there's something weird going on. Are they trapped in this place? Can they leave? Should she try to leave? What's going on? Like, all those things you just missed out on. And again, like, her performance is very good, and there's a couple interesting moments for her, and there's a few little moments that, like, slightly elevated. Like, I'm not going to give it a skip it. I think I'm landed on Airplane It, but really, I mean, like, Airplane It, Matinee Price, that kind of thing. Not quite as stream it, because I don't think.
What
it
do
was
they call
quite
those? Those
bargain bin,
or like second run theaters? Like, not.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you grew up with those. We had one in Burlington where it would. The movie tickets were, like, deeply discounted, but because you got to see the movie, like, 2 months after it aired in the big theater. What are those theaters called?
Second I don't run? Remember, but I know exactly what you mean.
But that sounds like that kind of movie. You'll wait until 100%, it comes to the second run theater.
Which, for us, fits an Airplane at best, because, like, that's really as far as you can go with it. I think it was a real missed opportunity. But for as her as an actor, she showed enough where I'm like, okay, I want to see her do this again in a better movie, because I think there's some acting chops there. So there you go. That's my immaculate review. Next week, get ready. Fun game. We'll see. We'll see.
Will
how
it
that
be
goes.
Fun though? It might be painful depending on how we'll our fans engage.
Thank you everyone for listening this week.
Go see some movies.